Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. As every serious student of church history knows, controversies over the nature and function of Scripture have been going on for almost 2,000 years. The disagreements are often bitter. Celsus in the 3rd century strongly objected to any book of the Bible that had a Jewish flavor. Since the 3rd century, there have been hundreds and hundreds of preachers and theologians who have accused the Bible writers of pious fraud, a nice way of saying they lied. The late Steve Allen, a secular humanist, wrote 2 books denying the inspiration of the Scriptures and accusing the Bible writers of making scientific and historical blunders. Former Bishop John Shelby Spong asserts that the Bible is full of contradictions. Robert Green Ingersoll traveled across the United States lecturing on the mistakes of Moses. I agree with an acquaintance of mine who said he had much rather hear Moses lecture on the mistakes of Ingersoll. It does not disturb me much when I read charges against the Scripture from atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, and other unbelievers. If these people did not object to the teaching of Scripture, they would probably be Christians. I'm not surprised, although I'm disappointed, when liberal theologians like former Bishop John Shelby Spong and English theologian Leslie Weatherhead deny the inerrancy of Scripture. But I am deeply troubled when men who call themselves gospel preachers or who teach in Christian colleges write books that question the verbal inspiration of the Bible. 3 professors, Kenneth Kukrowski, Mark Hamilton, and James Thompson, have done great harm to the cause of Christ with the publication of their book, God's Holy Fire, The Nature and Function of Scripture. A few brief excerpts from the book will help us to explain some of the tragedies that are occurring in the religious world in general, and in particular among churches of Christ. They claim that many churches of Christ have virtually ignored the Old Testament. They say, for N.B. Hardiman, a sharp contrast exists between the 2 Testaments, which he equates with 2 covenants, one of the law between God and the Jews, and one of the Spirit to the sons and daughters of men wherever they chance to dwell upon the earth. Page 55. Do you have any idea why Brother Hardiman emphasized the sharp contrast between the Mosaic Covenant and the Gospel? The inspired writers of the New Testament make a sharp contrast. Have these professors read, and do they believe, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews? According to Hebrews, the law had a shadow of good things to come. There was no way the sacrifices of the Mosaic Covenant could ultimately take away sins. Hebrews 10:1. So the Lord said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:9-10. What did the author of Hebrews mean by taking away the first, that he might establish the second? First and second what? He had been speaking of the Mosaic Covenant that was a shadow of good things to come. Under the law, burnt offerings and sacrifices were made to God Almighty. But none of those things could actually remove sin. So Jesus came into the world to take away the first covenant so that he might establish the second. And have they read Hebrews 9 that says a will or a testament is of no force while the one who made it still lives? So Jesus had to die to make the new will or testament binding. Hebrews 9:16-17. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. And what did the author of Hebrews have in mind when he wrote, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews 8:13. I close today with one observation. Every book of the Bible is the Word of God, and God cannot lie, ever. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.